Okay, today I would like to share with you Dvaita Vitakka Sutta, two kinds of thought from Majjhima Nikaya 19. Okay? And in this sutta, Buddha talked about how he divided the thoughts into two before enlightenment in Mananasi, just before his enlightenment, what he experienced. So he talked about this. Buddha tell the monks, say that, because before my enlightenment, while I was still only an enlightened bodhisattva, it occurred to me, suppose that I divide my thoughts into two classes. Then I set on one side thoughts of sensual desire, thoughts of ill will, and thoughts of cruelty. This one kind of thoughts. And I set on the other side thoughts of renunciation, thought of non-ill will or metta, and thought of non-cruelty or karuna, compassion. So thought of renunciation doesn't mean that become monastic. I've renounced the world. No, it doesn't mean that. Thought of renunciation means renounce the sensual pleasures. It's called thought of renunciation. Okay. And these three types of thought, thought of renunciation, nekkhamma, then thought of non-ill will or metta, and thought of non-cruelty or karuna, this is called samma sangkappa. In the Noble Eightfold Path, we have one called right thought. These three under right thought, which is one of the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay. So these are two classes of thoughts. And as I abide thus, diligent, ardent, and resolute, a thought of sensual desire arose in me when I am still bodhisattva. I understood thus, this thought of sensual desire has arisen in me. So he understand, he know what is arising in his mind. What does it mean? It means that bodhisattva has mindfulness. It's called mindfulness. When sensual thought arises in me, he knows this is called mindfulness. Okay? Then, as I always say, mindfulness itself not enough. So bodhisattva, you see how he apply his thought. He say that when I know sensual desire arose in me, then I understood thus. This thought of sensual desire leads to my own harm, right? Because I'm striving for enlightenment, and now the sensual thought of desire arises, that definitely leads to my own harm. And if I cannot control my sensual thoughts, I will put into action, right? Then this leads to the harm of others, okay? And to the harm of both sides, myself and others. And also this sensual thoughts obstructs wisdom. Now he's striving for enlightenment, so he need to perfect his wisdom in order to become enlightened. But the sensual thought arises in him that obstruct his wisdom and leads away from Nibbana. So he know how to apply wise attention. We call yoniso manasikara. Okay? Therefore, sometimes only mindful, not enough one. It's called yoniso manasikara. He know something bad thought has arisen in him, then he know the danger of it, the danger of the sensual thoughts. This is called yoniso manasikara. Okay? So when I considered this lead to my affliction, the harm of others, and obstructs the wisdom, and leads away from Nibbana, and this thought immediately subsides. Sometimes we may think in this way may not subside, because, but he's almost become Buddha already. So his mind is so matured. His comprehension is so keen, so matured. So the moment he think of, oh, these are the bad things, harm me and harm others and obstruct wisdom, this away from nirvana, it quickly subsides. And this also shows the power of wise attention. Think properly, think wisely. Okay. So then whenever a thought of sensual desire arose in me, I abandoned it. Remove it, did away with it. This is what? This is called Samma Vayama. Right effort. Under right effort, there are four. One is to prevent the arising of unwholesome thought. But now, although we try to prevent, but still we fail. Now, sensual thought has arisen in me. Then I must have right effort to abandon, remove it. Right? This is what Buddha say. By wise attention, he abandoned the sensual thought, remove it and did away with the sensual thought. This is called Samma Vayama. And most of us lack of this. When they say anger thought arises, we keep on angry for a long time. We did not know how to get rid of it. We do not know how to apply the right effort. Same to me. Sometimes I get annoyed also, indulge in anger for a longer time. And when you suffer enough, then you start to want to do away with, remove it, try to do away with it. If we don't suffer enough, we just indulge in the unwholesome thoughts. Therefore, we lack of right effort. So same thing, Buddha say, in same thing, when the anger arises, when the cruelty arises, think the way what Bodhisattva think. Then Bodhisattva, Buddha mentioned one very important statement. Bhikkhus, whatever a bhikkhu frequently thinks and ponders upon, that will become the inclination of his mind. It's a very important statement. If he frequently thinks and ponders upon thoughts of sensual desire, he has abandoned the thought of renunciation to cultivate the thought of sensual desire. If we keep on thinking of something bad, then it becomes the inclination of our mind. And then we already give up the good one because we indulge in the bad one. And if he frequently thinks and ponder upon thoughts of anger, then same thing. Then he has abandoned the thought of metta to cultivate the thought of ill will or anger. Then his mind inclined to the thoughts of anger. Okay? So, this is how he do away with the unwholesome thoughts and try his effort not to incline his mind, not to think and ponder or indulge in unwholesome thought so that it will not become his inclination. Okay? Then next, Buddha say, and sometimes, you see, when I abide thus, diligent, ardent, and resolute, a thought of renunciation, nekama, arose in me. I understood thus, this thought of renunciation has arisen in me. He has mindfulness, he knows what is going on in his mind. This does not lead to my own harm, the harm of others, the harm of both, and it helps wisdom. It does not cause difficulty and it leads to nibbana. The thought of renunciation, the thought of metta, the thought of compassion did not do my harm, but help me and help others, and it helps the growth of wisdom and also leads to nibbana. Okay? But next paragraph, what Buddha said is also essential, very important. If I think and ponder upon this thought even for a night, even for a day, even for a night and day, I see nothing to fear from it because it's a good thought, right? But with excessive thinking and pondering, I might tire my body. And when the body is tired, what happens? When the body is tired, what happens? When you come to meditation, we keep noting, noting, the whole 24 hours, noting, noting, the body gets very tired. Then what happens? And the mind becomes strained, restless, yes. Become tense up, and become strained, restless. And when the mind is strained, very important statement, it is far from concentration. Very far from concentration. So, what to do at the time? So this statement also important. So this for I, you know, why I ask you all, sometimes go back to the breath. Don't think, don't contemplate of anything. Just go back to the breath. Steady your mind there. So that you get rid of the tiredness, strain, you know, and physical fatigue and so on. Then Buddha say, at that time, so I steady my mind internally. Because my mind get tired, my body get tired, I keep on thinking of good thoughts. No harm, but I get tired. Similarly, when we keep on noting, noting, noting also, just like I note for 6 years. Finally, I told you, I'm so tired, I want to learn jhana at that time. So the mind gets strained. Then at that time, you should put aside everything, then steady your mind internally. How to steady your mind internally? Just go back to the breath. Don't note anymore. Just breathe in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Just steady your mind internally, quieted it. When you keep on like breathing in, breathing out, keep your attention on the breath, then you quiet your mind from restlessness. And brought it to singleness. Brought the mind to singleness, one-pointedness, and concentrated. Why is that? Why should I do like that? So that my mind should not be strained. This is also very important. So when you come to meditation, should not let your mind, the mind cannot be strained. You have to practice with very relaxed mind. Practice with happiness. Practice with joy and rapture. And only concentration give you much joy and rapture. If you keep noting, noting all the time, the mind get very, the body gets tired, the mind get very strained, then no more concentration. So the Buddha say, why should I go back? Steady my mind so that my mind should not be strained. Because strain is equal to agitation, irritation, and restlessness. And this is the one of the five hindrances. Agitation, restlessness is one of the five hindrances. When the mind is hindered, obstacled, have these obstacles, the mind cannot see things as they really are. Therefore, Buddha say, samatha, samadhi, bhikkhave, bhaveta, develop concentration. When one with concentrated mind, one sees things as it actually is. What he sees, think as it actually is. One sees this suffering, this is the origin of suffering, this is the cause, this is the cessation of suffering, this is the path leading to the cessation of suffering. Okay? Or another way, one sees anicca, dukkha, anatta. So, then Buddha said, tireless energy was aroused in me and unremitting mindfulness was established. My body was tranquil and untroubled. My mind concentrated and unified. When you go back to the steady his mind internally, then his body and mind become tranquil, untroubled, rapture, joy. Then at this moment he enter into first jhana. He say, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from sensual pleasures. In the first jhana, there's no sensual pleasures at all. secluded from unwholesome states. I enter upon and abide in the first jhana, which is accompanied by applied and sustained thoughts with rapture and pleasure born of seclusion. Okay, so in the first jhana, when your mind steady on the anapanasati, gradually you have by the vitaka vichara, applying thought and a sustained thought on this breathing, when there's no restlessness, then you feel the joy and happiness. There's a peace, joy and happiness. Then you attain the first jhana. Okay. So from the first jhana, Buddha moved to second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Then after that, he direct his mind to the knowledge of past life. He can see people's past life. This is the first knowledge he attained before become Buddha. Then after that, in the second watch of night, he direct his knowledge to he direct his knowledge of the passing away and reappearance of beings. This is called divine eyes. So he start to see why this being pass away, after pass away, where he born? Why he born in hell? Why he born in heaven? Why he born as hungry ghost and so on? So he start to see the passing away and reappearance of beings according to their karma. Okay, this is the second knowledge Bodhisattva gained. And the third knowledge, when my concentrated mind was thus purified, bright, this brightness, when you attain deep concentration, there's light. So there's brightness. That's very clear in this statement. Unblemished, rid of imperfection, then malleable. Concentration make the mind malleable, soft, and steady. At that time, you can direct the mind to what you want to do. Because the mind already trained into so soft, so bright, so malleable, and so worthy. So then Buddha direct to knowledge of destruction of the taints. All the taints, all the impurity, he direct his mind to the destruction of all impurities. Then he direct know as it actually is. This is suffering. What is suffering? What is suffering? No. This is suffering. What is suffering? No, craving is the origin of suffering, not the suffering. Five aggregates of clinging is suffering. Don't forget this. As a meditator, your object of observation is five aggregate. This rising and falling is earth element, wind element. This is a form aggregate. Please don't forget it. What is the truth of suffering? The five aggregate. And this five aggregate is the object of your meditation. When you are observing, you are observing the five aggregate. Only by observing the five aggregate, you see what? What you see? You see it's suffering. For example, if I sit on a computer, I absorb on my computer screen, I never know my body is painful. But after 3 hours, when I, move my eye from the computer, then I know here pain and there, pain here and there. So when you come to the body, you start to see suffering. Whether it's body, whether it's feeling, whether it's your perception, whether it's your formation, whether it's a consciousness. Therefore, we observe the five aggregate in order to see what? To see it's suffering. Only when you see it's suffering, you will not attach to it. Who want to attach to suffering? Nobody want to attach to suffering, right? So only by seeing the suffering, the danger of the five aggregates, including your body, the four elements, the feeling, the mind, only then we were detached from it. Otherwise, there's no way how can we detach to five aggregates. If we only see the happiness of the body, the happiness of the mind, the happiness of feeling, we will develop more and more attachment, not detachment. Then we are far away from attaining of Nibbana. Okay? So remember, whatever method you use, whether you are Mahasi, Pa'au, you know, Sri Umin or what, when you observe your mind and body, you are trying to see is suffering. Try to see the reality of impermanence, the reality of suffering, the reality of non-self. This is your goal. If you understand this point, you can go ahead and meditate without teacher, also no problem. But if you don't understand this point, sometimes you meditate, watching, what? you don't know what you are doing. What is my aim? Am I correct or not? So you will have lots of doubt. Okay? That's why grasping the Dhamma correctly is very essential, very important. How can you grasp the Dhamma correctly? By learning the Sutta. Okay? So Buddha say, he direct, when the mind becomes so steady, malleable, soft, he direct to knowledge, directly knew as it actually is, that is the truth of suffering, which is five aggregate of clinging. And this five aggregate of clinging is the object of your observation. When you come to Satipatthana Sutta. Okay? Then I directly knew as it actually is, this is the origin of suffering. What's the origin of suffering? Craving. Yes. Therefore, craving is also the object of your contemplation. Now, when the mind is greedy, crave for something, you must know, you must be aware of it and know craving is suffering, right? So, the noble truth of suffering and the noble truth of the origin of suffering, these two are the object of your observation when you come to meditation. Not samatha meditation, when you come to vipassana meditation, these two are the object of your observation. Then I directly knew as it actually is. This is the cessation of suffering. What is the cessation of suffering? Okay, I will try to help you to remember easily without any hesitation to give the answer. Okay? What is the cause of suffering? Craving. And what is the cessation of suffering? Yes, it's very easy to answer. Removal of craving. End of craving is the cessation of suffering. Or another word, Nibbana. The destruction of craving, removal of craving, bring to the end of craving is called cessation of suffering. So when you come to practice, if your craving to things become more and more, you should understand you practice wrongly already. Because far away, become more far away from Nibbana. But when you come to practice, your craving become less and less. Then you know you are in the right path. And this craving not only to sensual pleasures. There's one important thing that many people cling to. That is your view. The more you practice, the more you cling to the certain view. No, this doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to me. So, the more you practice, the more you do not cling to the view, this is the correct way. So, when we say craving, doesn't mean craving to sensual pleasures. Also craving to your own view. This is the only path. This is the only path. Other paths are wrong. Forget it. This is called craving to his own view. Okay? Satipatthana Buddha say. Satipatthana is the only path. So, then I directly knew as it actually is. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. What is the way leading to the cessation of suffering? Yes, Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, Noble Eightfold Path. The first one, what is the first one? Right view. What is the meaning of right view? Same. Right understanding and right view is the same meaning, but what is the content of right understanding? Correct. Please remember this important point. What is right view? Knowing the truth of suffering is called right view. Knowing the origin of the truth of suffering is called right view. Knowing the cessation of the truth of suffering is called right view. Knowing the path leading to the cessation of suffering is called right view. So what is the right view? Knowing the Four Noble Truths. This is an important point. Please remember this. So when Buddha, the mind becomes so steady, malleable, bright, so he can direct directly know the Four Noble Truths. And only then he was liberated. Buddha said, when I knew and saw thus. Knew what? Knew Four Noble Truths. And saw Four Noble Truths. When I knew and saw thus, my mind was liberated from the taint of sensual desire, from the taint of being, and from the taint of ignorance. And when it was liberated, there came the knowledge. It is liberated. And he became the Arahan or Sama Sambuddha. What's the difference from Arahan and Sama Sambuddha? Sama Sambuddha not only can teach, he no need teacher. Self-enlightened, self-awakened. He doesn't need teacher at all. But normally, ordinary Arahan need teacher to guide them, not to speak us. That's why we need to listen to Dhamma. From Dhamma we learn, right? So, this is the Sutta 19. Talk about the two classes of thoughts, then how he overcome the unwholesome thoughts, and how he think and ponder about wholesome thought. But if we keep on think and ponder about wholesome thought, also cause tiredness to the body and the mind. So therefore, at that moment, steady your mind with concentration is very important. Okay? Sadhu. Sadhu.